Hi, everybody. Welcome to Recovery from Relapse. Today it is Tuesday, the 3rd of June, 2025, and I'm absolutely delighted today to welcome Whitney C. Whitney first came into OA in 2001, and she's from and that's in San Diego, and she was born in Denver, Colorado, and now lives in California in Modesto. So I am going to hand it over to Whitney to tell us her story. So take it away, Whitney, and thank you so much for coming.
Let me unmute. Hi, good morning. I'm Whitney, a grateful compulsive overeater and a list of other things. What really, really honored that Rita invited me here. She was part of my 10-step partner, and I just obviously I've heard her speak at an OA meeting in California, and I've just fallen in love with her. And when she asked me to come, at 6 a.m. here, so I just need to give like disclosure. I have two daughters that should be waking up in 18 minutes, and so they've been instructed to leave me until 7:15. If something does happen where they come in here with an emergency, which usually involves their sister looking at them weird, I might just have to like mute for a second and deal with that. So we have a strategy. I don't know that it's fail-proof. So before I get started, that could happen, and I'm just going to trust God and share this message. So, before I get started, I just want to put my hand on my heart and just take a moment to just be so grateful to my creator for just allowing me to share. And my genuine and sincere hope today is that just that I would be present in this room and available for whatever message that God wants me to carry today. I don't know what that is or what it looks like, but I trust in that today. I also just wanted to start with a set aside prayer. So God, please help me to set aside everything I think I know about. Help us to set aside everything that we think we know about you, your plan, your power, relapse, recovery, and this precious day. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear your will for our lives and help us to carry this message. We are so hopeful today. Thank you. In your name, amen. Yeah, so I just like to bring myself into the room because I have this disease of overthinking, not necessarily over compulsive overeating. And I find that when I just stay in the light of my higher power, that I'm able to carry something. So may you hear something today that helps you. And so as Rita mentioned before, I came in the rooms at 2001. And so that was in my 20s in San Diego. I went to an OA meeting, I got a food plan, I went to the health food store, I bought all the food and I ate it all and I never went back. I found other ways. So my experience with food is just I grew up in a family of alcoholism where my mom was an amazing codependent, and the extent to our family, my dad was a prominent doctor in our town, and we were left to carry this idea, this facade, right? This idea that we didn't leave without bows on, and the chaos that ensued behind the closed doors was something that I often felt very upset at people for, leaving us. So, although we were a family of privilege, what was happening behind closed doors, I work and CPS should have probably been called to let them know, hey, shit's going on over there. But anyway, that's just part of the history, the family of alcoholism, where my dad got sober, but he didn't stay in the rooms. He was there. He went and got 5 years of intensive psychotherapy, just thought his family would be fine, and we were left to carry the emotional weight of what happened there. And so I just found that food was like, I mean, I remember just food being just the comfort. I could tell you the vacations based on the food that we had, And so in my 20s, I went to, I didn't really struggle with weight. I was able to kind of keep it down. And then in my 20s, in my last year of high school, I went to Germany and I went with this girl, and she and I were the same weight. And then when she went there, she lost all her weight and I gained weight. And I just remember just going, oh my God, what is happening? So I've tried, I got a clear working knowledge that I had a food problem. And so I did crazy things at that time. Just to recognize, okay, so I went to the gym and I would like skip the gymnasium and I'd get on this bus and I'd go to the gym and I would bust my ass up working out to try to get to what she had. I mean, it was crazy how my brain just got so activated by this idea that she and I were like the same weight, and then my happiness was dependent on like how I looked. So anyway, I'll just say that I did all the things. Relapse is part of my story because I became very aware at 20 that I needed help. At 21, I went in to get help. And then I found another area avenue. I found it, and so I apologize if this isn't a meeting that talks about other things, but my story includes the use of drugs because I went to a diet clinic and I found a pill, and I was 26 years old, and I heard this. I took this pill into my body, and the noise stopped. All the chatter of the compulsive overeating just stopped, stop, stop. It just stopped, and that pill was that moment for me. Something went off in my brain, and I decided that that is my God. And I served and chased this God in a secret way. I mean, I had to do so many things for 14 years up until the time I was married. I thought the love of motherhood, and I had to take these pills, and I found them in multiple places. The lengths that I went to try to get free from this obsession. It is the worst experience of my life to have this mental obsession on my back. And so when I found this drug, I kept it a secret from everyone. Now, people knew I wasn't well and the wheels fell off shortly thereafter, but I continued for 14 years. I did not draw a sober breath. And so in 2018, I thought that I had chill. I got married and my husband didn't know. I had this secret, this idea that who I am in reality is flawed, and that if you knew, I had to keep it a secret because I was really good at keeping the facade of someone that had it all together. And that was like my driving force. So I had to drink and use drugs to stop the mental obsession, and I became a slave to this thing, and it was a secret, and I became a slave, and it stopped working. And I mean, in 2013, I think I became really aware, like it's not working anymore, and I don't know what the solution is because I couldn't get off of it. And so I had like the kind of suicide attempt in our country, like it's a 3-day hold. But what they did to me based on the suicide attempt that I had, and I thought it was the most honest I'd ever been. I realized I couldn't go forward and I couldn't go backward, and I just wanted to die. Everything had let me down. And so I didn't get well after that, but I got married. I went to graduate school because I thought, okay, if I could understand why, I talked about the history with my family. If I could understand why, I'm going to get a master's degree because I think finding out the why of why I am will help me. So I'll just get a master's degree and I'm going to figure this out. So, and then I had children, and I mean, I was so unmanageable. I thought the love of motherhood would get me sober, and it didn't. So, in 2018, I went into a treatment center. Or my husband found my husband found a bottle on a vacation in Hawaii. My parents found a pill within 24 hours, a secret that I kept. So my higher power said, "You're done." Okay, so we came home, and I went into treatment. And while I was there, I was like, "I'm not gonna let my sister get sending." There was a big bowl of Halloween candy at the center. So I thought, I can't let my sister get skinny while I'm here, And so I gave up sugar and flour. I don't know. There was just something that if I'm going to go through this, I'm going to get rid of it. So I gave up sugar and flour as a treatment, and I worked the steps, and I got sober, and I had an amazing sense of recovery. And like I was cruising in life. Like I really felt the power of the steps, not understanding about compulsive overeating. So I wasn't putting anything in my body to trigger the allergy. And so on a vacation with my husband, while we're building our marriage back, things are going so well, I find carrot cake, and we're at a place where everyone's drinking, and I can get a carrot cake there. And I just thought, oh, I can have a carrot cake. And from that moment on, like I was sober. I finally let go of those things, and I was out, and I was honest. And I got sicker in that moment. Once I triggered that allergy, I didn't see him for the rest of vacation. I was into the food. I didn't have sex with him. I didn't touch him like for the rest of the time. And for another year, I experienced the kind of like I just wanted to die. I was sober and I had children, and they were 2 and 3 now, and I wanted to die. And COVID hit, and I just did all these kinds of things. I mean, I was a laxative abuser. I was just all the things. And I couldn't stop the food obsession. So I have this journal. I found a life coach, and she was going to help me, actually. So I found the rooms of OA. I was like, okay, I've been sober and I don't want to drink and use anymore. I think I can find this in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. So I went to 12-step meetings, and they were using the OA big book. And I noticed that you guys use a lot of church literature. So I'm just sharing my experience of what I needed. I heard in these rooms where people were taking like sips of vodka, doing some slipping and sliding, but the mental obsession was still there. They were chewing gum and doing crazy things. And I just thought it was like, I liken it to taking sips of vodka and calling themselves sober, but I wanted to be free of the mental obsession. I really understood that I had a mental obsession and this allergy was triggering it. And so I kept going to these meetings, and I would do all the writings and do all the things that they'd said. And if you connected me to a lie detector test, it would have shown that I definitely wanted to be free. You know, like I was ready. I mean, there was no question in my mind that I was ready. And I've never been more miserable in my life. And then I found a meeting called A Vision for You, and I heard, you know, people. I met a girl in one of the rooms, and she gave me this meeting, and I heard in there the kind of experience that I had in my program with Alcoholics Anonymous, where I don't drink vodka and just call it a slip and say it's okay. I found that people were what I would call freed from the obsession to eat and drink and use, you know, and that they weren't slipping, that they were having this idea where they didn't eat the sugar and flour and they didn't want it anymore, and they found a way to live. And so that was duly noted in my brain, but I still thought, oh, I can do this. So I had 273 days where I wrote in this journal, and it's not this one, but it was a journal where for my I found a life coach, and I got skinny for 3 months, and I wrote down every day. You had to do your plan and actual, and then a body or a mind download. And if you ever found this journal, you would be so heartbroken to see that. It's not like I just went 273 days not caring. I fucking cared deeply. Sorry, pardon my language, but I cared deeply about getting sober. And by 5 p.m. every single day, I couldn't stop eating. I did crazy things. And you would just think I was insane, but there I was the next day trying a new level, you know, and I just went for it. And then COVID hit, and I was on vacation with my family, and I thought, okay, I'm going to try these HCG shots. So I make us leave the family vacation. We go home to try these HCG shots. This is in 2020, and I just, you know, I'm insane. And so I kept telling myself, I'm going to get skinny. I'm going to get skinny. You know, I didn't have to gain 100 pounds to understand that this mental obsession kept me from seeing my children, from seeing my husband, from being in reality. And I couldn't escape. It was just this 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, the relapse, like. And so I had tried in the rooms of OA, and I couldn't get sober. And someone just said, you know, Whitney, you're just going to have to decide that food isn't the answer for everything. And I just thought, oh, okay, thanks, Karen. You know, thanks so much. That's all. That's all I have to do. Oh, who knew? And so I didn't trust OA. You know, I just thought, you guys, I don't understand. So I know I'm going back and forth, and I'm sorry, but I'm caught in the moment of wanting to get all the things. Oh, I see a timer. Okay, good. Because I finally made a call. It was my husband's birthday, and it was like the 17th time that I promised myself that I was going to have this weight loss. And it was the weight loss, but the mental obsession. And I finally realized that I am doing this without my consent or will. Like, I'm going back to the kitchen. We're washing a car, and I'm going back to the kitchen, and I have this moment of clarity where I'm like, I'm beyond human aid. I'm beyond human aid, and I need help. And so I made a phone call to that girl who told me about A Vision for You, where they did the big book, the book of Alcoholics Anonymous using compulsive overeating. And I made a call, and I said, I need help. And she said, okay, get rid of your alcoholic foods and call me in 2 days. And I thought she wasn't going to sponsor me, but God just like, and I didn't believe it was God at the time. I thought I knew God, but I did not. So I got 1 day where I didn't hurt myself with food. And that was my spiritual experience. And I text her because I thought she wasn't going to sponsor me. And then I got a day two because I couldn't get an hour of a sober breath. And I got day two. And then she said, okay, we can start working tomorrow. And I started working with her through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I did everything she said until I got to day seven. And she said, so how did you get your plan of eating? And I said, what do you do? I'm a nutritionist, don't you know? Like, I know how to eat. Like, I know how to do this. And she's like, oh, we suggest that you find, you know, a nutritionist. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm intermittent fasting. Like, don't you know? Like, that's what I'm doing, and I'm gonna do this. And so I thought, oh, well. And I sat there at a street corner, and I looked to the left, and I looked to the right, and I just thought, this is it. You know, this is where I'm jumping off at 7 days. And then I said, God was like, hey, are you willing to go to any length? So why don't you just consider it? So I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to find a nutritionist, and she's going to do intermittent fasting. So I Google all this stuff, and I find a nutritionist that does intermittent fasting. Or she wrote, turns out, you know, so I call her on a Sunday because that's when she said it. I'm just like, okay, I need it now. She responded to me on Sunday, and we started on Tuesday. And I don't remember telling her about my ideas of intermittent fasting, but it turns out she wrote an article on it. But this woman walked me through and designed a food plan for me that I mean, it was so uncomfortable, and I was miserable, but I was willing to go to any length. And so then she walks, She walks me through her food, and I have colors and things on my plate that I've never seen before. And I have a plan of eating, and there's times and there's understanding because I'm a compulsive eater. If you give me a plan of eating, I'll eat it all in by 9 a.m. So this had times and regulations, and suddenly I'm eating things that just like my body starts to feel nourished for the first time, my poor body, and colors, and we're going on camping trips and doing all this shit, and it's COVID, and I'm doing this so. So I get this plan of eating. I start meal prepping. And I'm just willing to go to any length. Then I get to day 11, and I have a terrible experience with my two children, who are 3 and 4, or 2 or 3 at the time. And I call her, and I was like, "Okay, so here's the deal. You promised me that I'm going to be able to raise children without chocolate, because I had been the kind of compulsive overeater that the chocolate, I could not go on any trip without having chocolate or something in my pocket to get me through the activity. So if I ran out of that, I'd have to tell my husband, like, pull over, we're, I need to go to the store, and I would just pretend like I needed a tampon, which I didn't even have anyway. She said, "Yeah, you're gonna be able to raise these children without chocolate." So my point about the chocolate is that I didn't yell when I was eating chocolate, and then in COVID, I found myself yelling and eating chocolate, and it wasn't working anymore. And I was like, "Shit!" I found myself at that crossroads where, like, the yelling, stopped when I had Rolos. So I'm digging Rolos out of the trash can to try to, and it didn't work anymore. I was yelling and I was eating chocolate, so I'm fucked. So at day 11, she tells me, "Yeah, you're going to be able to raise children without chocolate." And here's the deal. My point of saying that is that she took me through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We met a half hour, 2 to 3 days a week. I started to get kind of recovery. I was in counseling with my parents and their adult children, one Zoom meeting, and we were, because right before I got here, I had all these ideas about what I needed to have happen before I could get sober. So I had my parents, we're doing this COVID family transition, and I'm working the steps. And I start going into these sessions where, every week, what my sisters and I would just go take a bat at my parents, because don't you know they were the problem, not me. And suddenly I see this, I start seeing them with different eyes as I'm working the steps. And then I do that fourth step where I start to see, oh my gosh, that was like the worst experience of my life, because I don't have food, I don't have drugs or alcohol, and I have to write. I love the first three columns, and then I get to the fourth column, and I have to be honest about my part. And I'll tell you that doing that fourth step and that fourth column was the scariest, most painful thing I've ever done. And she told me to do it quickly, and I got to see, holy shit, I'm responsible. But there was hope in that, because I thought I was a victim this whole time in my life, that I was the victim of my parents. Don't you know it's my parents? And I got a lot of mileage in this community. If you knew my family, you knew my mom, like, that gave me loads of sympathy, loads of excuses to be a drug addict, alcoholic, compulsive overeater. And I started to see my parents as the people that they were. God started lifting the veil as I saw how I contributed to the problem. And I found hope in knowing that I did not have to be a victim, that there was actually a lot of work to do and a lot of cleaning up. So I started, these steps are laid out in this way that then I got to not just sit in my shit, I shared it. And I honestly thought that when I told my sponsor the things, that she would call CPS, because there were things that happened behind closed doors that I needed to tell someone, but I thought for sure I was going to go to jail. And she did not have children. I didn't know that still at the time, but it wasn't important. The point is, I didn't need to know her. I didn't need to find a sponsor that I connected with. I just needed a sponsor to carry the message of what I understand now is a spiritual experience of a God of my not understanding. This woman had a faith and a clearly identified religion, and that was not my experience. All I know is that there was a moment where I said, "Hey, God," which I didn't want to use that word. "I heard that you could help me. If you can you help me?" And so there was a before and there was an after. There was a before where I hurt myself every single day, couldn't get an hour. And there was an after where suddenly I got 1, 2, 17, 20, 35, 40 days where I wasn't hurting myself with food. And I didn't want anymore. Like, we had COVID and had to really be up close and personal. And I know I'm still jumping around. It looks like I have 10 minutes. So is that right? 10 minutes. So I start seeing my parents as the 23, 48, 62-year-old people, and they suddenly just were humans. They were not this like higher power. They were just became people that were in my lives that, that they got to just be themselves. And that was such a beautiful gift. And I could not rearrange that thinking. God started giving me new eyes. And I use this word God of my not understanding, because I have no idea. I come from a family background where this was a certain God that had to be at the end all or all. And I've just found that I found a relationship with a higher power that I could not live without, that I can definitely say that there was a before and there was an after. There was a before self-will after where I just opened, because the requirement for me to get sober was, and the food was, do you believe or are you willing to believe? And that's what it was. I didn't believe, but I was willing to believe. And that willingness was all that was required for me to unleash what happened once I finally got here. And so I got to stay focused on making those amends, and I found incredible pain and satisfaction. And I went and made amends because I was trying to get my master's and I was working in a children and family services center. I failed 3 units shy of my master's degree. I did an entire practicum with this children family center, and I went and I made my amends to this woman during COVID that was my supervisor, the controller of the agency that I had worked in. I did not in my wildest dreams ever think that I would try to resurrect the dream of getting my master's degree and going through counseling, because I thought the why would help me, and obviously it did not. The why and getting to brass tacks, but Alcoholics Anonymous offered me a way to say that it doesn't matter why, it just matters that you are. And once you accept that, then you can deal with the rest of your life problem today. So it didn't matter the why, no kind of pleading or, I started public shaming myself on Facebook when I was trying to get sober. All the things that used to work no longer worked anymore. So I was out of ideas and I was back. So sorry, just regressing a little bit. But so then I start to my life, what it was like, what happened, what it's like today. I started just to see my parents, that was then, and I've now been here for 5 years, and I started out with just trying to get through the day with my children, and slowly but surely God has just arranged a living for me where I went back to that lady. I was working, I had to rework my ma I finally reached out to the master's program for to become a clinician for men. But it's called in California, marriage and family therapist. That was the dream of mine, to be a marriage and family therapist, to help families carry the message. And I will just say that I went back to her to say, would you consider me for a practicum? I had to redo 700 hours. I lost them all. And I became willing to accept things that I could not change because of this program. And I became willing to face courageously the things because I had now a relationship with higher power that was showing me how to do things that were beyond my wildest dreams. I was a person who, if I was talking or doing anything, was filled with secrets and lies. I'm a drug addict, compulsive overeater, alcoholic. There's nothing about me that's truthful. If my husband left town, I had to like clean up everything and like just, clean up all the wreckage of all the bags, the candies, all the wrappers and all the things that I would do. And I suddenly found myself with this idea of integrity. And it started with learning how to weigh and measure my food to microscopic honesty, because I knew that was going to keep me clean. I followed this food plan and I worked with my nutritionist. And if I needed something, I didn't make decisions. I have a relationship with my sponsor that I have X amount of protein, X amount of starchy carbs, X amount of, vegetables. And that's how I commit my food. I don't have to tell her if it's a broccoli or a green bean. And so I started developing this idea of integrity that did not come from within me. I started weighing, measuring my food so that a 0.01 over the scale, I suddenly just stopped. I didn't want any more shenanigans. I just wanted clean. I wanted to be clean and free like I was in the drugs and alcohol. And I found that I'm clean and free. And slowly but surely. And I went back and I went and got my master's and completed the 25 extra units that was required, which is a lot of money. And I'll just say that since 2020, I went back and I slowly, I got a master's degree, and there was something so satisfying because I had integrity. I'm not a smart person. I have to work really hard. My sisters are really gifted, and I had to work really hard. And I started having a relationship with my children that, like, I mean, well, that's going to come next because I was so triggered and just struggled with how to relate to children because I was never given an example of love, patience, and tolerance. I was always to be the projection of somebody, not allowed to be autonomous. And I actually found out that I had this husband, and I thought we were going to have to get all this marriage counseling. And I slowly but surely, one little day at a time, one little thing would improve. Where I remember I started to learn how to charge my phone at night and put my watch and like get it. That was like a miracle. That was like rhythm. And it started there. And then I started, getting up early, because I started realizing that if I'm going to have a relationship with a higher power, I have to work on cultivating it. Into action I go. And so I started going into, I'm in this room right now where it's a sacred sanctuary. And I come, how do I do that? Every single morning I come and I spend time with God, because his thoughts are better than mine. And I use that word God, and I don't understand what it means, but I just know that there is something that I have a relationship with today that I've cultivated through, just doing prayer, a quiet sitting meditation, and then a reading, and then a journaling. And I've started learning how to offer these things to God. Like, I'm in menopause, I'm losing my hair, and I'm doing all these things, and I have these children in this family system. And I'll just say that I went to that agency. I was able to complete my practicum, redo the hours, and the moment that I graduated, they had a substance, a clinician in our town. They don't usually have this, but a clinician that worked with co-occurring disorders. So most people are drug and alcohol counselors, but there was now a clinical position, and God got me into that position, and I got to work with women and children that have substance use and co-occurring disorders. And I spent a year and a half doing that, and things slowly but surely, I started getting my life back. I started, hiking and doing things that are just beyond my wildest dreams. And the biggest thing was that I had this idea of integrity, because I use the steps, I continue them. So I have to do a nightly inventory where I have to take account of the things that I do in my day, and it helps me stay clean. Is there something that I need to share? I start sharing these things. I found that sharing was better than wearing, as they say, and working the steps, like, and continuing the steps. So, I sponsor women, and I know I'm jumping all over the place, but I'll just tell you that now somebody, they're like life, I just stay still and I stay focused on my recovery, and I continue to carry the message. And I love that the food thing, like the drugs and alcohol, that obsession went away, but I have to eat every day, and I have to learn a way to do that. And I've just found a way to do that in a way that would just blow my mind, because that's not me. I'm acting in a way that is just not anything that I could ever account for on my own. And so then somebody reached out to me that I used to love working with, and she's been in private practice, and now I'm working in private practice, and I get to see women and children and families that have this thing of substance use, and whatever it is, it's drugs, alcohol, sex, drugs, rock and roll, it doesn't matter. I have experience from growing up in a family of this, and now I have my own experience of being somebody that is in recovery, and I have 7 years in September of being alcohol and drug free. And then I just celebrated 5 years in April with a recommitted abstinence. By the way, I did pick up Diet Coke, after my ninth step, we put off Diet Coke, and I picked it up as a plan. And this Diet Coke, like, I said, okay, I'll just have it in restaurants. And within days, I'm driving through a restaurant and getting it from the drive-through 3 times a day, extra large. And it took me 3 months to say, okay, I think that I need to do this again. So while I've been 5 years here, I did have a recommitted abstinence after this. And I will tell you that picking up that Diet Coke and what that did for me, when I had to put that down, it was the worst experience of my life. I don't know why. It was like I could feel all the things. My mom goes, "What's wrong?" I'm just like, "I don't know. I just so amazing." And it was just giving me an example of, like, if you pick up, this is the pain that you're going to face. So it's easier to stay, but I can't consciously make those decisions. I don't decide to do things today. I'm a glutton. If I get into a Netflix things, I could just stay down all day, but I'm up at 4 a.m. every day. I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I went through menopause, and I'm sorry that I'm just going to show you the muscle, but like, I went through menopause, and like, God has shown me how to gain muscle and take care of my body and do it in a way that's recovered, so that I have 1 minute left, but there was a point where I got like too thin, and God has restored me to sanity in that I don't want to get too thin. I just want to be healthy, and I live a life beyond my wildest dreams. And while sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, these promises happen, I will tell you that I have these two girls in there that needed me the most. And my biggest part of my recovery is working on developing and cultivating a new family that doesn't have the multi-generational dysfunction. And I'm doing that one day at a time, because the food is down, the drink is down, and I get to feel the pain when I act outside of what my higher power wants for me today, and have a life that has integrity, that what you see, what I'm doing behind closed doors matters. And it never mattered before, and it does. My parents have the code to my per, you know, my my And I've learned to set boundaries with them, even in recovery. Like where in September, I just told my mom, I'll go to counseling with you to have a new relationship, but I can't continue the one that I had. So I've learned how to set boundaries to keep myself on the beam and keep myself free and clean of things that I try to use as my higher power. And I'll use things for a little while that just don't align, but God always points me right back into the direction of recovery. And I'm just so grateful that all of these things had to happen so that I can sit now with children and families and my own children and be able to relate to them in a way that is so infinitely satisfying and remarkable. I'm a miracle. There's no reason why I should be where I am today, but all I know is that I found a God that helped me. And I thank you so much. I don't think I captured everything, but I hope you captured the essence of what I was trying to tell you, because my life is like I was using Adderall and alcohol and all the things to function in the way that God is my performance enhancing drug today. And I can't do it without help. And thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Whitney. What a message of depth and width. Thank you so much for being with us today as well. And I just wanted to read a little paragraph out of the big book after what you shared. It's in My Chance to Live, and it says, "When I am willing to do the right thing, I am rewarded with an inner peace no amount of liquor could ever provide. When I am unwilling to do the right thing, I become restless, irritable, and discontent. It is always my choice. Through the 12 steps, I have been granted the gift of choice. I am no longer at the mercy of a disease that tells me the only answer is to drink or eat. If willingness is the key to unlock the gates of hell, it is action that opens those doors so that we may walk freely among the living. Over the course of my sobriety, I've experienced many opportunities to grow. I have had struggles and achievements. Through it all, I've not had to take a drink, and nor have I ever been alone.